Most of you know me well enough to know I love to preach from the Old Testament because I think we see God's grace and we even see Christ and we're pointed the way and drawn toward Christ even in the pages of the old book. I'd like to share with you from Exodus 17 verses 1 through 7 today. Exodus, second book. While you're looking for it, I'll just say that children of Israel that Moses is leading are trying to follow God and trying to get their own needs met. Sometimes it seems like those things come into conflict. Moses is stuck in the middle, as leaders often are, as parents often are, stuck in the middle between what your kids want to do and what you know they need to do. And what you want to draw them to do. Moses has got a kind of miserable job right here because he's getting the flack. And he's getting the instructions from God and the flack from the people. You know how that goes. So Exodus 17 verses 1 through 7. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. And I'm reading from the New International Version because that's what I had with me on my trip this week. It is Exodus 17, beginning with verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Zin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses, saying, "Give us water to drink." And Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" And Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile River, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled. And because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some people have a fear of the deep end of the pool. My mother was one of those. You stay away from that deep end where your feet can't touch the bottom. When our feet can't touch the bottom and feel the solid ground, we feel a little unsettled, don't we, unless we trust the water. Was it just my mother and her fear of water or her fear of drowning? I don't know. She just wanted us to be safe. But sometimes in order to have what we need, we have to step forward and step into the air sometimes and take a risk. These people that Moses was leading had just been fed manna in the wilderness. You remember the story of the manna. They were desperately hungry. And the Lord came and in the morning dew, flakes formed on it that they used to make bread. That they called manna. And you know what manna means? It literally means, "What is it?" this flaky substance that God provided to make a way for them to have food, they called manna because they didn't know what it was. Perhaps they should have just been content that it came from God. But now, having received that miracle of food to eat, they're complaining because they're thirsty. Pretty basic needs, don't you see, of food and water. Those are the things that you can get because you have a right to them, even if you're in jail. Food and water are pretty basic, right? These people are looking for something to eat in the wilderness, and God leads them along to these places where they get manna. And they have no idea where it comes from or what it is. Hard to eat something like that. There's no water, no good water, the kind we like. There's nothing to eat, Moses. Can you imagine being a leader out there in the wild? That's what wilderness means. It's got the same letters as wilderness. Wild. It's in wild territory. Unfriendly, hostile, not convenient. Not the kind of place where you can pull off the side of the road at the next exit and get a sandwich or Coke or some water. Is there no water, they said? No good water? Not any of the kind that we like? Deep into the ocean. There's plenty of water there. It's not deeper because it's piled up higher, but it's deeper because the bottom recedes and rescends to contain more of the water. The bottom gets deeper and holds more of the gift of God's blessing. The water is not piled higher, but goes deeper. That kind of depth brings stability, even in a storm. Moses' response to the people had just been fed fairly miraculously by this gift of manna. And now they cry out to Moses, and Moses cries out to God. And then God cries out to Moses, "Be patient, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those are your highest needs." They've just been fed now. And now they're thirsty. They're pretty cynical about it too. And Moses is discouraged. He says, "What am I going to do with these people? What do I do?" Like my mother used to say, "What am I going to do with you?" "What am I going to do, God?" And Moses speaks to God, and God listens, and God speaks to Moses. The people are testing Moses. They're testing God, in fact. Openly, they say, "Is the Lord among us or not? Let's have some proof. Let's see some action here." And on the other side of that, God is testing the people to see how faithful they will become or remain. How quickly the people in this desert of sin quarreled and began to complain. Desert of sin. Kind of think of sin as a New Testament term. But this is a location near the mountain of that is called Sinai, S-I-N. It's the same root. The mountain of sin or seen. It's not necessarily sin as in rebellion from God, but it's a location. And it's a place of a landmark, this desert of sin or seen. And it's a landmark because God has provided for them there before and will again. God says to Moses, "Walk on ahead, take some of the leaders of the people with you, and take your staff and go. Now, it's not your people staff, but your shepherd's staff, your stick. And I will stand before you, says the Lord, by the rock at Horeb. The rock will provide water. And the people said, is the Lord among us or not? Massa and Meribah. Massa means testing. And the name Meribah means quarreling. Is the Lord among us or not? They said, quarreling with themselves. An impatient question. And one that's very demanding and demanding of God. This episode is described here in the book of Exodus. The Israelites under Moses have come from the wilderness of Sin, close to Mount Sinai, from the same root. Sin means without, without name, without God. Here it is dissatisfaction and complaining. The mountain without contentment, without trust, without accepting the hope that God is already offering them. Is God the stumbling stone? Is God the stepping stone? Or the rolling stone? You know the song, Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away. And you know the Paul Simon song, probably, at least you've heard it, called I Am a Rock, I Am an Island. It's kind of sad in a way. Because no matter how strong we are, we're not the rock. We look to the rock. We rest on and in the rock. And we trust in the rock, who is our provider. We set ourselves aside and trust. Some of the words of that Paul Simon song, I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving that I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Although that might sound good at times, I don't want to be an island. I don't want to be my own rock. I want to have a rock on which to lean and on which to build something solid. We are not the rock. We rather are in need of the rock. I am not the rock, but God is the rock. I come to the rock for vision, for hope, for water, for hope. For a place to stand. After all this happened, the Israelites moved on, camped at Rephidim, and the Amalekites attacked them. They had a tough time out there. The Israelites are led in the battle by Joshua, while Moses and Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, watch from a nearby hill. And Moses notices that when his arms are raised, the Israelites prevail. They gain the upper hand. But when his arms get tired and he lowers them, the Amalekites prevailed. And so Moses sits on a rock, on the rock, with his hands held up, with Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side. And they help him to hold up his arms because he sits there with those arms held and the Israelite army is victorious. Moses' arms are held up and the army prevailed. Sometimes you and I need someone to hold our arms up. And sometimes you need to hold someone else's arms, especially when they're weak. The people needed water. Give us water to drink, they said. And Moses lifted up his hands. Walk on ahead, the Lord said. Take leaders and take your staff in your hand, and I will stand before you by the rock at Horeb, from which will come the water that you need. God provides water, encouragement, hope, a way even in the wilderness. And God provides hands to hold and hands to lift each of us, so that we too may live in that hope that comes from knowing God's grace, being held in God's everlasting arms. Let us pray.